Blog Talk Radio.
Make the summer we bless till we fool. Me a funny girl say blessings are running back. Me a dead, 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 dead. Me a drink out of glass, a glass cup or a rope. I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm starts coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican pan
food in a Dutch pot.
And from the news, the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too
bad. Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I'm so glad that you've tuned in with me tonight. Truly, God is good, and I thank Him that He's been allowing us to study together. The last few shows I was not able to do last week, but I'm so glad that I'm able to study with you tonight. I pray that you are blessed and that God has truly touched your family. I pray that this year is going well for you and that you were able to magnify His name in service this past weekend. We're going to be studying tonight from Matthew chapter 7, and our topic is just ask. In other words, whatever you need God to do in your life, He is able to do it. He is able to do it. And so don't be afraid to seek Him, because when you seek Him, you shall find Him. So don't be afraid to seek the face of the Lord, because God has great things in store for you. Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just bless you. We magnify your holy name. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to study with your people once again. I pray, oh God, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would open up our understanding. I pray, oh God, that this would just not be just a one-time thing for us to study together, but I pray that we would be able to continuously study the Word of God together. Lord, I pray for those that are listening all over the world. God, those that are listening over in Kenya, Lord God, over in the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago, and Lord God, those over in Jamaica and those around the United States, and Lord, other parts of the country that are listening in England. Lord, we pray right now that you would truly touch. Lord God, you know everything about us, and you know our heart desire is to please you, Lord, to serve you with all our hearts and all our souls. God, we pray tonight that you would touch, that you would just move in a special way. We realize, oh God, that we cannot make it without you. We realize, oh God, that many times we try to do things without you, but we cannot, because we need you, dear God. We need you each and every day. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us, Lord, to seek your face and to seek to know you. And, oh God, I just give you glory, honor, and praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so Matthew chapter 7, where the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. You know, in the Christian, among Christians, in the Christian circle, as I began to say, there are many people who have a tendency to spend all their time looking at the folks around them. In other words, they have developed this very bad habit, I would say, focusing more on other folks rather than on their personal walk with God. And although we are our brother's keeper in the sense of we should look out for one another, we should encourage one another and strengthen one another, I think some folks have gone in the wrong direction when they spend all of their time pointing out the faults of others, to the point where they become a nuisance to other people because they're constantly trying to catch someone doing the wrong thing. I do not believe that it is our duty to catch other people doing the wrong thing, but I do think that it's our duty to encourage people in the faith, because we should realize that iron sharpeneth iron. And so, dear friend, if you would be blessed, you ought to find someone to encourage rather than to discourage. And so the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, because among the early Christians in the early church, the people spent a lot of time pointing fingers at one another. And one of the problems that they had was the fact that there were Jews and then there were non-Jews coming into the church also. And so there was a lot of schism going on because one group wanted to do things one way and another group wanted to do things another way, and they constantly had to have business meetings. They constantly had to have meetings to discuss the fact that although those coming into the church are different, yet they are the same. They are one in Christ Jesus, and so there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. When we come into the faith, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we understand that there is no more a division between cultures, a division between people of different ethnicities, but that we are one in Christ Jesus, and we ought to consider each other brothers and sisters, because when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we understand that we are now all under the umbrella of Christianity, and we are one. Jesus prayed for us that we all might be one as he and the Father are one. Now, dear friend, you cannot be one with your fellow Christian when you are constantly criticizing them, when you're constantly putting them down, when you're constantly, you know, thinking evil thoughts of them. You cannot be one with people who you think are below you or less than you. And this is the problem with people who tend to judge other people. They're constantly looking down their nose at other folks, and this is the wrong attitude to have as a Christian. The Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And so the same way we judge other people, dear friend, is the same way that God is going to judge us. And so be careful the yardstick that you use to measure someone else, because that same yardstick is going to be used to measure you. The Bible says in verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And so those who are carpenters perhaps would understand this, you know, illustration best. Because a mote is something very, very minute, but a beam is something very, very big, you know, sort of like a big plank of wood. And so the Bible refers to the fact that we tend to point out very minute or very petty things about other people's behavior and other people's actions, and tend to forget the larger sins in our own lives. And so the Bible tells us that we ought to be careful. We ought to be very careful about how we view our fellow Christians. We ought to be very careful about how we tend to point out what's going on in the lives of other people and forget that we ought to clean out our own closet prior to pointing out the faults of other people. Now, is there a place for us to pull a sister or a brother aside and mention something to them? Yes, there is. There is a place, if you see a brother or sister doing something wrong, there is a place where you can pull them aside and do the Matthew 18:15, which is, if you have aught against a brother, you pull them aside, you talk to them directly, and you discuss whatever problem it is, and then if that doesn't work, you bring a second person as a witness and you try again. And then if that doesn't work, then you need to go to someone higher in the church to meet with all of you to try and resolve that. Now, that's a different matter altogether. When you see an individual doing something wrong, it is okay to pull them aside and talk to them. But it is not okay to talk about them behind their backs. It is not okay to gossip about them. It is not okay to bring their names to your friends and to, you know, malign them. We have to be so careful. Even as leaders in the church, we have to be so careful that we don't become part of the group that is constantly bickering behind the pastor's back or constantly bickering behind other people's backs, because that is not a good thing. It is not a good thing for us personally, spiritually, and it is not a good thing for those who are looking at you as a role model in the church, that are looking at you as a leader in the church and expecting more. You know, there are times when I have to correct myself because I might hear myself grumbling or complaining, and I have to stop myself from talking and realize that I've gone too far with my grumbling or my complaining. You see, dear friend, we can be judgmental sometimes without realizing that we are that judgmental. And so each and every day, we must evaluate our own lives. Evaluate your life to see if you're still in the faith. Evaluate your own life to see if you are still living a godly life. And living a godly life, dear friend, is not just what you show people. It is not just your facade. It is not just how you present yourself to the world. It is what you live in your private time. It is what you live in your personal life. Are you living a godly life? Are you living a holy life? Can God depend on you? Are you praying in your personal time? Are you seeking God in your personal time? Are you spending all your time gossiping on the telephone and maligning other people? You see, dear friend, when the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, you've got to understand that you can judge people in many ways. You can judge them by looking at them and thinking thoughts about them in your head. You can judge them by calling someone else and discussing them. And you can judge them even by making comments directly to the person about their character. There are different ways, dear friend, in which you can be judgmental. The Bible says in verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So the Bible refers to folks that don't realize when they need to fix their own life first, but they're constantly trying to fix other people's lives. The Bible tells, calls that person a hypocrite, because only a hypocrite would have a lot of things going on in their own personal life, but be very vocal and very loud about what other people are doing. And so, dear friend, we ought to be careful. As Paul referred to himself one day, he said, listen, I don't want to preach to all these folks and I myself one day be a castaway. I want to make sure that as I preach to other people, that my life lines up with the word of God. How about you, dear friend? As you tell other people about Jesus, is your personal life lining up with the word of God? Look at verse 7 through 11. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks it, receive it, and he that seeketh it, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, dear friend, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. So I want you to make it your personal goal in life to always remember that if you want something, you have to ask. Just like when we train little children, we train them to say please and thank you. We train them how to be polite, how to excuse themselves from the table when they're eating, perhaps how to use a knife and a fork. You know, there are some things that we train children from the time that they're young. Now, of course, sometimes when they get older, they depart from that and they, you know, develop these very bad habits that they've picked up at school or picked up in other places. But we know that from a child, we train them how to have manners, how to have proper etiquette, and how to do certain things. And like I said, sometimes when they get older, we're appalled at some of the behavior because we know that we did not train them that way. But God is trying to train us in the way that sowing and reaping works, in the way that faith works. God is trying to train us into understanding how to walk by faith and not just by sight. He said, ask and it shall be given. Shall be. Not maybe, not perhaps, not, you know, a possibility. He said, shall be given, but you have to ask. God is trying to train us how to receive things from him. In other words, if we expect to receive something from God, we must first learn how to ask. If we don't ask, then we are not going to get. Dear friend, how many times have you, you know, thought about something that you perhaps wanted God to do in your life or in the life of someone you love, but you did not bother to ask him? You know, you thought about it, you went about, you know, you perhaps discussed it with a friend or family member, but you did not go to God and ask him. You see, God is the author and the finisher of your faith. God is the one that can make things happen in your personal life and in your public life, especially if you're looking for a job, you're looking for favor, you're looking for your house to be saved, maybe it's in crisis, you're looking for maybe a brand new house. What you're looking for, dear friend, God is able to give you. He is able to provide every need that you have, for every need that you have. But you must understand this, dear friend, that you must ask. You must ask. How can you get if you do not seek, if you do not be persistent in prayer, if you are not persistent in spending time in the presence of God. Dear friend, I want to tell you, and sometimes I drop this in and sometimes I don't, but as a prison chaplain, the worship inside the prison is sometimes just mind-boggling, because sometimes we go into service and the anointing of God just drops in the place. For instance, yesterday in service, I began to lead the people in worship. And as I led the people in worship, I felt pressed to call for those who did liturgical dancing, and they came to the altar, and I began to pray for them, because one young lady came while we were doing a song, and she started just doing liturgical dancing. I prayed for her and began to pray for some other folks. And then I felt led also to call for any backslidden ministers. And, of course, I had a few folks come to the altar also who were backslidden ministers. And then I felt led to just continue praying. And, dear friend, I want you to know that the anointing fell in the place. And I just began to just pray and lay hands and you know, people were just in the spirit, and we just had an awesome time worshiping God, praising God. The presence of God was just in the place. I want you to know that when you begin to worship God for real, when you stop playing church and you begin to worship God for real, you will feel his presence. You will feel his anointing. You will know that without a doubt that God is with you. You will know without a doubt that what you ask him for, that he will provide it. And remember that the Bible also refers to the fact that sometimes we don't get what we pray for because we ask amiss, according to our own lust. But when we ask something that it, for something that is going to give God glory, that is going to be used for his glory and his honor, I want you to know that when you begin to pray like that, when you begin to pray and say, God, I really want to do your will. I really want to do great and magnificent things for you. And whatever money you put in my hand is going to be used for your glory. Whatever material goods you give me, it's going to be used for your glory. Whatever car you give me, it's going to be used for your glory. Whatever house you give me is going to be used for your glory. I'm going to train my children up to praise you and to worship you. I'm going to tell my family about Jesus and encourage them to praise you and to worship you. I want you to know, dear friend, that when you're in that mind frame, that whatever is in your life, it is to be used for God's glory and his honor. When you have made up in your mind that without doubt, I am going to worship the Lord, my God, with my substance, with all that is in me, everything that I have, my mind, my heart, everything. When you make up in your mind that your life is sold out, totally sold out to God, and that you're going to give him everything that you've got, I want you to know that God will bless you. God will bless you so abundantly that you will just not have room to receive what God will give to you. The Bible says in verse 8, for everyone, I'm in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, for everyone that asks it, receive it, and he that seek it, find it, and to him that knock it, it shall be open. The Bible said to everyone, to everyone. That means that you are not less than someone else in the church just because they might have a big title. It does not mean that because you are a lay person that you are less than them. It just means that God has placed them in that capacity to lead the people, but it does not mean that your prayer life should be less than the leader of that church. It doesn't mean that your prayer life should be less than, you know, the missionaries or the elders or whoever, you know, whatever titles that your organization uses. Whatever title you have, whether it be an usher or a Sunday school teacher, whether it be the song leader or the praise and worship leader, the choir director, or whether you're an intercessory prayer warrior in that local church, your personal walk with God should not be less than the person who has the highest title in your church. Why? Because at the foot of the cross, there is level ground. We are all on the same plateau. We are all in the same boat. We are all seeking to know God better. We are all drawing closer to God. I feel his presence even now. I want you to know that God is still who he said that he always was and still is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the wise, almighty God. I want you to know that when you totally surrender your life and your will to God, that God is able. He is well able to encourage you. He is well able to strengthen you. And all you need to do is put your trust in God. Dear friend, this is not the time in your life to give up. This is not the time in your life to go back on your word to God. This is the time for you to press in. This is the time for you to hold on. I know that times might be difficult. I know that some folks are struggling. But guess what? God is still a way maker, and whatever you can do to press in, whatever you can do to hold on. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched some horror movies. Once upon a time, I would sit and watch those things. I don't really watch too many horror flicks anymore, but I used to watch those scary movies, and, you know, I don't believe I've ever watched a scary movie where they didn't have someone falling off of a cliff or hanging on, you know, to a tree and someone just barely get to them and pull them back up from the tree or, you know, or from the cliff or what have you. There's always someone hanging on for dear life. I want you to know, dear friend, that it's not God's will for you to just hold on for dear life, but if you find yourself in that situation, then by all means, hold on. God is sending backup. God is sending new recruits. God is sending his angels who will come, stand God around you, who will help you to get your footing once again. I want you to know that sometimes it might seem like quicksand is under your feet. It might seem as if you're sinking down in a place where you can't get back up again. But I want you to know that God is pulling you out of that pit right now. God is pulling you out of that quicksand right now. You're not going to sink any lower, but you're coming back up. You're coming back up. God is encouraging you right now. He is strengthening you. I decree and declare over your life that you have victory in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that there's victory in your soul right now. There's victory in your heart right now. There's victory in your mind right now. Hold on, dear friend. Hold on a little while longer because God has great things in store for you. God has great things in your future. When you seek God with all your heart and all your mind, he will bless you. He will bless you. Don't back up that bus. I want you to move that bus forward. If you're sitting on a bus that's been in park, it's been in reverse, I want you to put that bus in full gear, and I want you to move forward because God has great things for you. God is blessing you right now. Dear friend, don't give up. Hold on a little while longer because God is sending in those reserves just for you. If you know what reserves are, if you've ever been in the military, you understand that those reserves are the people that you have in waiting, that you can call them when you need some backup. Dear friend, I want you to know that God always has somebody in reserve to help you. There is not ever a time in your life when you will ever be alone in a situation because God always has a way to help you. God always has a way to put your feet on the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I believe the songwriter made it a point to refer to the fact that Jesus Christ is our solid rock. He is not sinking sand. He is solid rock. And I want you to know that when you look up in some areas of the country, Colorado and different places, you will see those mountains and you might even see some rocks. And if you go up into the Rockies, you know, in those areas of the country, perhaps in Arizona and different places, you might see some rocks. You might see some boulders. But I want you to know that, you know, of your own self, unless you start an avalanche by moving one and having everything else roll down on its own, you by yourself cannot go up there and just lift up a boulder, you know, unless you're Mr. Universe or something like that and you've got all that strength. But most people cannot just go and lift a boulder because it is firm, it is solid. Jesus wants us to understand that he is that kind of person that we need. He is our solid rock. He is our boulder that cannot be moved, that cannot be budged. He is the one that can bring us through trials and tribulations and temptations. He is the one that can give us renewed joy, peace, happiness. I want you to know, dear friend, that your life has purpose. We've been studying that. Your life has purpose. And in the fact, in knowing this, that your life has purpose, you cannot be judgmental of other people. And you must ask God for whatever you need. And might I add, don't be envious of evildoers. You see, sometimes the reason why we are so judgmental is because we see folks that are doing well, and sometimes it's not even just Christians that we're judgmental of. We're also judgmental of non-Christians because we spend all our time pointing out everything about them instead of trying to win them to Christ. Dear friend, this is the wrong attitude. When new people come into the church, you ought to encourage them. You ought to love on them. Give them an opportunity to come to the faith just like you did. Don't run them away. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So the Bible tells us, reminds us once again, that however we expect others to treat us, that's the way we should treat them. And so if you don't want people to be scornful towards you, don't be scornful towards them. If you don't want people to be judgmental towards you, don't be judgmental towards them. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. Because one of these days, dear friend, all of us are going to stand before God. And we're going to be judged for the things that we have done on this earth. Dear friend, when you stand before God on Judgment Day, what is he going to say about you? What kind of remarks is he going to make towards you? Is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into my rest? Or is he going to say, you know what, you spent too much time down there gossiping. You thought you were a Christian, but you were not, because you spent more time criticizing and putting down people than you did trying to help them. What will God say to you, dear friend, on Judgment Day? I hope he will be able to look at you and smile and stretch his arms out and embrace you and invite you into heaven. Dear friend, the way that leads to destruction is a broad road. The road to holiness, to godly living, is very, very narrow. And so many start that road, but they don't continue. Dear friend, I want to encourage you tonight, continue on. Hold on a little while longer, because God has great things in store for you. And if you give up now, you'll miss out on the blessing. Dear friend, don't miss out on your blessing. Ask God for what you need, because when you seek him, you will surely find him. You will surely find him. Look at verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, note that the Bible says few find that narrow gate. Dear friend, make it your business to be one of them that stays on that straight and narrow way, because God wants to bless you. He wants to do great things in your life, and unfortunately, many start out serving God, but for some reason they get sidetracked by the cares of this world. Dear friend, it's not that I don't care about what's going on in your life. It's not that I don't care about the struggles that you face, but what I do care about is how you get through your struggles. I do care, but I care in a way that I want you to get through your struggles praising God, worshiping God, and understanding that you're not struggling alone, but that God has already given you the strength that you need to make it to another day. Dear friend, study your Bible, pray, seek the face of God, because God has already ordained it so that you should be victorious. God bless you, dear friend. As we get ready to close, I want to remind you of our key verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And, of course, our closing thoughts are persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, what are you trying to achieve? What great plans do you have for your life? And have you written them down? Do you have your goals written down? Do you know what you're going to be doing in the next 1 to 2 years or 3 to 5 years or 6 to 10 years? Do you know what you're going to be doing with your life? Have you talked to God about it? Have you sought him about it? Have you listened to him talking back to you? You see, God does speak to us. He really does. He does speak to us. He does want to know what's on your mind, and he does care about what is nearest and dearest to your heart. So, dear friend, don't just think that God is far off somewhere not listening to you. He is listening to you. He does care about you. And I want you to know that if you would seek him right now, you will see that God will respond to your prayers. And so let us pray right now. And I just want to remind you that God loves you very much. He cares about you. And this is your season to be blessed. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that will hear this broadcast and be blessed by this broadcast. I pray that you'll continue to keep them. Lord God, if there be one in the valley of decision, oh God, trying to make up their mind about you, I pray, oh God, that they would not halt their opinion any longer, but that they would make up their minds to serve you. Lord God, I pray that you'll speak to them in dreams and in visions, even while they sleep, oh God. Help them to understand who Jesus is. Help them to understand that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would touch, encourage, strengthen, heal right now. I pray for that one with diabetes right now. Heal them in the name of Jesus. I pray for that one with ulcers right now. Heal them in the name of Jesus. And any kind of cancerous tumors right now, be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you right now for arthritis in the bones, in the knees and joints. God, someone is being healed of that right now. I thank you right now that someone with aneurysm is being healed right now. Someone with back pain is being healed right now. And someone, oh God, who was just about to go into surgery, God, you're going to heal them right now, and they will not have to have the surgery. God, I thank you right now for your healing touch right now. In the name of Jesus, God, God, you're resetting bones in the ankle right now. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Mashato kushikita, tikito to shikita, no no shikita to bo sheki, itato shikito to sheki. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever your infirmity, be healed in the name of Jesus. God is healing you right now. He's touching your mind. He is touching your body right now. And I thank you, Lord, for your healing touch going out right now in the name of Jesus. Dear friend, I thank you for praying with me. And I want to encourage you right now to put your trust in the Lord, because God wants you to trust him.
Yes, indeed. And Job, while you were going through, he looked up and he said, though he slay me, yes, will I trust him. So I want to encourage someone today, listen.
Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, a dream can make a U-turn while going through a Sunday.
Hallelujah. We just thank the Lord because we know that we should trust him. And here is a victory chant.
Yeah.
praise the Lord, we realize that we need to give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he has done for us. I want you to know, dear friend, that you are a very, very valuable part of the kingdom of God. God loves you very much. And continue to be encouraged and continue to live one day at a time, serving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. For he loves you very much, and he loves and truly is taking care of your family. God bless you, dear friend. Remember, this is Evangelist Faith Reed. You are listening to Vision, and I pray that you have a blessed, blessed evening and a blessed week. I should be on tomorrow evening, God willing, and not on the weekend, but I should be on tomorrow evening. But in any case, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may your family always know how much God loves you, and may the peace of God that passeth all understanding be with you both now and forevermore. God bless you, dear friend. Second Chance Ministries, too blessed to be stressed.
Me say summer we bless till we fool. Me a funny girl say blessings are running down. Me a say blessing. Imagine cause I'm half a class cover and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be blessed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, listen, me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny, you can't food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the north.